Hey guys, welcome back. Comedy Store Podcast. I'm Rick Ingram.
I'm Eleanor Kerrigan.
We got Mr. Shore.
Mr. Shore.
Let me hear. Can I hear?
Test. Yeah, okay.
Test.
I never like using headphones.
I don't either. I like to keep one ear out. I don't know why. Yeah. Maybe I was strangled in a previous one.
But thanks for thanks for having me, and I'm glad. So are you guys the official hosts?
We are the official
hosts. You're like Regis and Kelly, or like Kelly and
much.
Mike, or whatever?
I like to think of Sajak and Vanna.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
That's actually
that
my new goal.
Better, yeah.
Is to just, when Sajak dies or retires, I want to be the guy who hosts
Wheel
of Fortune.
How long have you guys been co-hosting together?
Two, three months.
Now, yeah.
So
yeah.
How many of you guys done together?
Probably eight.
Eight or
something
ten.
Like that. Yeah, eight to
so
ten.
You guys should build a graphic with the Comedy Store logo. So who gets the first billing?
Oh, I usually put Rick's. It doesn't matter.
I think, yeah, I mean,
Rick and Eleanor,
yeah,
right?
Rick and Eleanor.
He's been doing a little bit longer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so the Rick and Eleanor podcast show, Comedy Store podcast, with the logo and your guys'
yeah.
thing.
And then we like to take pictures with people and put them on there too.
Okay, you guys,
or a video.
You guys do it. I'll just sit here.
No, you're right.
But I'm just saying,
no,
you know, it'd be cool
idea.
To have
right.
you guys are the official host, because no one, like, I didn't know that you guys were the host till you guys just told me just now.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone else does.
Really?
So if you, no, I don't think so. No, because you guys just kind of fell into it. He was hosting for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you merged into it. So now if this
but
is.
But now we've
guys,
been doing it every week.
Yeah. So this is good. So you guys should. People
are willing to do the podcast
more now.
Now that Eleanor's on, like before, I'd ask people.
It becomes more official.
Yeah, I'd ask people, and they'd be like, "No, I don't think so."
I'm right?
Like, oh,
I agree,
okay.
And that, I think you asked me once, and I was like, "Yeah, I don't know."
Yeah.
Plus, we're like, "Let's go to the basement," and they're like, "Wait, what?
Yeah,
there's a basement."
Yeah, that it really freaks people out. Before there was, I'm not going all the way upstairs because we were in the room opposite of landing patch or whatever. Yeah. So
oh,
now,
that's right. Are you still up there? Or is your that's landing patch? That's
we
your
can't.
Production company.
We can't. I like to be private where I'm
oh.
physically.
Oh right.
You know what I mean? I don't want people showing up in the middle of the day.
Creeping. Yeah.
Freaking out over you.
Like Steve Kravitz will show up.
Hey, Polly.
What's going on?
Do you like hockey, Polly?
No, Steve's great.
Steve
awesome.
Is great, and he goes every Sunday still, right? Or no? Do you see him once in a while, or you don't know?
Alfred doesn't really let him in.
Okay.
Smart.
The last time I was there, I had to write my name down. So I was like, oh, okay. I guess we're keeping names.
Hey, Dice said, if it wasn't for Mitzi Shore, she'd have passed away a long time ago. With her disease, with my mom's Parkinson's.
Absolutely.
Because, like, and you know better than anyone, like, you were very close with her, like, when she was here.
I love her.
Like, if it wasn't for Mitt being my mom, because she's had Parkinson's for so long, or her nervous thing, whatever it is.
Yeah, she don't like that word.
Yeah, no, she don't like that word. But it's a form of Parkinson's.
Exactly.
It's in the Parkinson's family.
Right.
But, she's really strong, but she's healthy at the same time.
Unbelievable.
So it's like...
Like, she looks fantastic, right? I think I was there, like, right before her birthday, week before her birthday.
Yeah.
So, but her eyes, everything, she's so full. Yeah. And she spoke to us a couple times. Like, it was just crazy.
Yeah, I'm still scared
Parkinson's
of her.
Parkinson's is like a...
I'm still scared.
Well, you should tell Polly what you did. Dom Barris made him do Argus to her.
This
and it freaked her out a little bit.
This is probably like eight, 9 years ago or something. Mm-hmm. She was here, and he was like, "Oh, come on, let's. Mitzi will love it." And I'm just like, "All right." And I was still drinking, so it was easy to convince me to do anything.
Right.
And so I walked over, doing full Argus, and she just stared at me. And then after about a minute of bombing of doing Argus for her, I was like, "Oh no, this isn't going good." And then she just goes, "That's nice. Go away."
That's hilarious.
I was like, "All right, that's my out." Yeah. And then I walked away just like, I hope I'm not banned.
I want to ask you, like, when you first started doing stand-up, what was that like? I mean, your mom being Mitzi Shore, how the hell did you present that?
Like, well, I always knew I was going to do it ever since I was, like, little.
Yeah, because the comics always say you're always funny, always.
I was always like, oh, I'm going to do it. But my answer to myself was, well, when am I going to start? So I started when the SAT papers were coming, sent back in high school at the beginning of 12th grade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The beginning of 12th grade is when I took it really serious.
I was like, okay,
now let's fucking do it.
Wow.
Serious, though. Like, real, like I am in my life.
Yeah. Did you have to do the open mic and stuff?
I stayed away from the Comedy Store for at least 2 years.
Oh, okay. You did the Laugh Factory
a little bit, correct? Jamie, yeah, for a long time.
And it was just, like, by choice, you just didn't want
to? Yeah, by choice.
Because you wanted to get good before you performed.
Yeah, I didn't want to showcase for her unless I had, like, 2 years under my belt.
That's so crazy to think that even you had to showcase.
Oh, yeah. And it was a nightmare. It was terrible. How was your showcase? It was terrible.
No. How many times did you showcase before you got passed?
Well, I'll tell you the story. I know this story really well because for the last 2 years, I've been putting together a documentary in my life.
Right.
So I've been reliving and interviewing everyone that's been in my life since I was born.
Okay.
So I know all the stories very clear. So what happened was, wait, what was the question again?
Just what was your showcase?
The showcase. So it was Louis Anderson and it was Paul Mooney and they were in the back and you were probably serving. How long have you been?
93. Oh, okay. I don't know if I was here that long.
No. Okay. So
what year was it when you showcased?
I think it was 88.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
88. And I did my show, and after I ended with pop locking, I was very into dancing.
Okay.
I brought out my big boom box, and I played Freakazoid.
And this, I mean, 88, that's priming for,
big
for
time.
Pop locking. Yeah.
And I started popping, and I was really good. I was coached by a guy named Sugar Pop. If you know anything about pop locking in the 80s, Sugar Pop was the best popper, period. He brought pop locking to LA. He was in every Michael Jackson video.
Wow.
He was in Thriller. He was in Beat It. He went on tour with Lionel Richie.
Damn.
He was like the fucking, like, no one fuck. He was in every, like he toured with Prince.
Oh,
he was
wow.
like fucking, but not like in the back of Prince, like with Prince.
Right.
So he taught me, and I used to bring him up to my house. And my mom, you know, met my mom. So that was the first thing. So I did my dancing. And then after, I go up to her and I'm like, "How did I do?" And she said, "Stick with the dancing." That was pretty
ouch.
Yeah. So then, there was a lot of friction. There was a lot of friction between me and my mom because she wanted me to go to college, and I don't know if she was like pushing me to do stand up or whatever. And then there was friction. It was really bad. And that was at the time where Sam Kennison took me under his wing and I became very, very close with Sam. And Sam was on drugs and he was doing a lot of coke and he was fucking out of his mind. I mean, the Comedy Store now is like so mellow.
Right.
Yes. I mean, back then it was like you come here, it was scary. It was like a scary place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you didn't know what was going to happen.
Gacked out
well,
all the time.
Cocaine was like a very big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, some people smoking pot and drinking, but there really isn't a drug scene.
No.
Yeah.
So I was hanging out with Sam a lot. So that's when, you know, it got really bad with me and my mom. And I had to become famous on like MTV and like start working as an actor and get a following here
before
she actually made me a paid regular.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Man, that's tough.
So, I can understand her wanting you to go to college. Also knowing, like seeing all the comics, knowing what you go through.
You don't want your kid
bullshit.
Going down the path, especially with all the drugs that are around.
Absolutely.
She's like, I don't want to encourage my kids to
but
do this.
But I was
this.
Always like, I mean, you guys know me pretty well. I'm not a druggie. I'm not fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, I never really was. I partied, but
you did throw some great parties, though.
Yeah, vagina's another thing, but at the time, no. But
we have our addictions.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I always kind of watch what not to do through all these people that
right.
are here.
You learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, I learned from their mistakes. They were the best teachers because look at Argus. I mean, I look at Argus and I feel really sad for him actually because he's so talented and he's I don't want to say he's so good looking, but he's like a really good looking guy. You know, he's like America.
Yeah.
I mean, now he obviously is older.
He's older, but yeah.
But back in the day, dude, he was a fucking star. Period. End of story. A fucking star, dude.
Yeah.
But he fucked. But drugs fucked him up.
Right.
So I saw that so much, and it was just like, yeah, it was just gross.
Do you remember, like, your whole life you've been at the Comedy Store, right?
Since I was four, yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
From Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. But then, didn't you work in Westwood as well?
Yeah,
or is that where you would hang?
Cook, yeah. No, what happened was I wanted to get a salt. This is when I was 14 years old, and I wanted to get a saltwater fish tank.
Okay. Good.
Well, no, because James Bond had saltwater fish. I was obsessed with James Bond films, like obsessed, because he got pussy.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who got more pussy in movies than James Bond?
Nobody.
Not a lot of people.
Period. Like, it was James Bond. That was it. And James Bond had saltwater. So I thought to myself, if I get a big saltwater fish tank with saltwater fish,
the ladies will follow.
I can get some vagina. So
I love that was your desire.
So I asked
desire.
My mom. I asked my mom. I'm like, can you get him? She's like, no. She goes, if you want it, you have to work for it. So she says, you can be a short order cook at the store in Westwood.
Wow.
So I worked there, and that's where I made my money. And then I eventually got my saltwater fish tank.
At 14, you were running the kitchen.
Running it, dude.
With Ed Kinnison, serving, everybody's
dude,
there.
Dude, serving like 200-300 people. Like these Mexican dudes, they don't have shit, dude. And the stuff that they're making is disgusting.
It's like chicken fingers.
It's fucking
shit.
Gross. I put like love into my shit. I made like really good hamburgers. I would like spend time like marinating it like in the afternoon and make it great. And
oh my
people
God, that's
would
awesome.
Freak. People would be like, this is really good.
Wow.
I'm like a really good cook right now. I'm always a really good cook.
That's great.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I love cooking, so.
I love that you would marinate the beef and everything. No, like that. Because now they do. Yeah. They just throw things in a fryer.
It's like a frozen.
Or it's all frozen. It's gross, everything's dude. So fast right
yeah,
now.
I had a friend. I guess he's not really a friend, but someone I went to high school with is out here, and he's like, how do they prepare the chicken fingers? I'm like, well, they remove them from the bag, and then they
scissors?
Put them in a toaster
what?
Oven. They don't
is
even fry
even
it?
Is it a toaster oven, or is it
I
a
assume.
Fryer?
No, it's a good
there's no fryer here,
it's a good
I don't think.
Situation, but it's still
Dean Cuisine,
fingers.
Bro.
Yeah.
Dean Cuisine. I got to be honest. If I was waiting tables here, I'd be pissed as shit. I hate it serving food.
Let me ask you something.
Sure.
So, because it's weird for me to see you as a comic.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Just because I've known you for, I've known you since you
first
came out.
I was a waitress here for 12 years.
But dude, you were here for so long serving. Why didn't you do stand-up then?
I don't know.
That's so weird.
I never had any interest in doing stand-up at all.
And then you just clicked or someday?
I think after
Because guys listening, Eleanor, who's the host of the show, she was a server here. Like the number one server from 1993 to
2005.
2000. That's a long time.
It's 12 years.
She ran the show when I got here. She was in charge of all of the waitresses.
Did a lot of yelling.
Yeah, because I remember when comics would do something to anger the waitresses, you felt the wrath of Eleanor.
That's right.
So you quit eventually.
So. After Freddie Soto passed, in all honesty, I quit because I got engaged to Dice.
Speaking of him, just really quick,
yes,
because I'm digging into my documentary, I have footage of him.
Oh, really?
Like old footage, like when he used to drive my mom's limo and shit.
Oh, my God, that's so
like
crazy.
Down to the fucking La Jolla, dude, that's sick, dude.
That's awesome.
And he looks like awesome. Okay, go on.
Yeah, but after Freddie passed, because Freddie was my best friend, and after he passed... For years, they would be like, you should be doing stand-up, because I would hold court in the kitchen and just fuck around, but that's just how I was. Like, I didn't think...
Philly.
Yeah, I didn't think, oh, stand-up, I should be doing stand-up. I'm like, no, that's not easy to do, and it's a sad life, kind of.
So
now I know that
it's not
for real.
It's not glamorous.
It's really not, and then so I completely get your mom protecting you from it, because to me, I'm like, fuck, if I knew, but I'm an idiot. I knew 12 years, left, came back as a stand-up.
Yeah, it's weird.
And then started touring with my ex-fiance. That's even weirder. I know, I'm creepy.
No, but the whole thing, just deciding to do it.
To do it, yeah. And even Dice was like, what? Now you're going to do stand-up? Yeah. Like, I've known you all this time. Dom Irera is one of my closest friends. They're like, now you're
doing
it?
But the thing is also, you've gotten good fast, though, because of that.
Because of the college I went to
is the
greatest.
Yeah, 12 years of...
And watching comedy...
And Fox too is another thing.
I
like
always
Kurt
think
Fox,
of him.
Like he, was acting and doing so much, film work and TV stuff. So when he decided in late in his life to become a stand-up, it happened quicker for him than most.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's such a great writer. But I remember him from you and the parties and stuff like that, from waiting tables all the years. All your buddies. BK Broiler,
we
used to call
BK Broiler,
Is that face?
No, there was like a bunch of... Paulie had like the best friends, in all honesty. I don't mean to say it like you're not here, but you always had like the best friends and the best parties.
We used to fucking throw big parties.
Every time... I know his birthday because I'm like...
I have to check with my brother to see if it's... is Peter listening?
Peter, if you're listening.
Yeah, they want to throw a wild party here.
Peter would let us throw a party, I think.
We'd have to sell tickets, though. We'd have to...
We have to make money.
If we got a guarantee... 300 tickets sold, I think he'd do it.
Yeah. Well, we'd say. But do you remember the material you used when you showcased?
Other than the pop locking?
Yeah, Angel, oh, yeah, that's Angel right. wrote a lot of my stuff.
Angel Salazar?
Yeah, he because, you know, I was like,
Were people kissing your ass because you were Mitzi's kid? Like, were they trying to help you out? Or were they helping you out because they knew you since you were four?
No, everyone liked me. I mean, yeah. I got along with everyone. I was never like the owner's son asshole. It wasn't like that.
Right.
I was part of their life. You know what I mean? They all raised me.
You're the cool kid, yeah.
Well, they all raised me. So it's like, you know, Angel, you know, wrote my first joke. He said, I grew up in Beverly Hills. My maid's Mexican. My mailman's black. My gardener's Japanese. A day at my house like a day at the DMV was like my first joke.
Oh my God, that's amazing. But, I don't think I ever heard that.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
All my original jokes were terrible impressions and jokes about being from Kansas. So,
right.
I mean, that's far superior to what I was starting with.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things that developed, you know, on stage.
You had like the best people at your disposal to when you started doing stand up, like to even ask for advice. Going Angel Salazar is like,
he was the man, yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I still see him on the East Coast once in a blue moon. Yeah, we work in Atlantic City sometimes. But yeah, he's terrific. And then you had Kinison. Alan Steven raves about you.
Yeah, I love Alan.
How old were you when Kinison started taking you around? Or you were a teenager, or were you older than that?
Yeah, it was
then?
Like, it was, I'd say 80s, 88.
Okay, wow. So you're like 18, 17?
Like 19.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
And then you get to tour?
Yeah, I toured with them. I opened them for a while, yeah.
You did the Outlaw thing or something
I did the Outlaws in Vegas. I toured with him there, but then he took me on the road with Bill Kennison on a bus and, you know, cruising around. My documentary, dude, honestly, my new one is going to freak people out.
I can't wait to see it.
It's like done in such a cool way. It's done through all audio. So I have over 50 interviews I've already recorded.
That's sweet.
And it's basic. It takes place in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And it's all done through audio and old photos and old videos. But because everyone sounds the same, but everyone looks different.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Ian could be my co-host.
Okay. Nice.
You could be my co-host on my interview.
Hi, Ian.
Ian Edwards.
What's up, Ian? Ian Edwards is here, ladies and gentlemen.
So anyways, the point is that when people, what's up, bro?
What's up, man?
What's up? When people speak, everyone sounds the same,
right?
But everyone looks different. So that's why you're in these eras, and I got everyone. I mean, this documentary, it's like my version of the OJ case, like that to murder, suicide,
everything.
Drugs. I mean, you know, fame, you know, prostitution, abortion, fucking, you know, all this shit, molestation, like all that shit.
Everything.
I didn't do any of it. It's all the shit around me.
Right.
And you're narrating it?
No, it's interesting. No, I talk about it, but it's mostly other people talking about it.
And it's about your life or about the Comedy Store?
It's my life.
Okay.
Your life at the Comedy Store, obviously.
No, it's just part of it.
Oh, okay.
No, it's...
Yeah,
because,
I mean, there's so much that went on outside of here. Absolutely.
Well, my life, I mean, the shit that I've seen is insane. Beverly Hills High School. Do you know anything about Beverly Hills High School?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who'd you go to high school with?
Both his kids went there.
I went with... yeah, but I'm talking about back then, though.
No.
Back in those days.
They had some different stories than you. Thank God.
My best friend in school was this black kid named Eddie Washington.
Okay.
And he used to live across the street from the Comedy Store. If you go across the street from the Comedy Store, it's the Mondrian.
Yeah.
Right there. It used to be Projects. It used to be all black, like gnarly fucking. So he was like my best friend. He used to sleep over my house. My mom took him in and the whole thing. I interview him.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
And that's
like,
great.
Like he was like my best friend. So he tells the whole story. About, you know, the Comedy Store back in the 70s and the whole thing.
Were there famous, like people who are now famous going to Beverly Hills High School?
Another best friend, when I went to Hawthorne, which is Beverly Hills High School is a high school. And then there's four kind of junior highs.
Oh, okay.
There's El Rodale, there's Horace Mann, there's Beverly Vista and Hawthorne. Did I say Hawthorne? No.
Yeah, you went to Hawthorne.
Okay, Hawthorne.
Isn't that far, Hawthorne?
No, that's the city.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's right, and that's where Dice's kids went to school too.
Yeah, they went Hawthorne
and Beverly.
Yeah. So my friend with his kid Sean Kehoe was one of my best friends. His dad was like a fucking, like an Irish gangster who was best friends with OJ. Ooh. And OJ was always at the house. So Sean,
when I met OJ in Miami with Dice. And
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And one of the craziest things about meeting him was that he asked me, he's like, so you tour with Dice, who else you tour with? I said, I'm going on the road with Pauly Shore right now. And he's like, I know Pauly. I've known Pauly since he was a kid. Yeah. And so then he spent like 10 minutes telling me these stories where I'm like, I think he's lying. And that's what I kept thinking. It's like, I think he's lying about knowing Pauly so that I think he's cool.
Yeah.
But I thought it was.
But now he really.
And then Smokey Robinson's kid, Barry Robinson. Mm-hmm. I was best friends with him, so I was very close with Smokey when we were kids. So whatever, it's just
that's
my
great,
point
though.
Is there's so many stories outside the store,
and they all came and told stories and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I got
on
everyone
your,
over
that's
50
awesome.
Interviews. Yeah, I've been, and I gotten comedians that people think are dead right now. I got them, like I hunted everyone down.
Who do they think is dead? That's
I don't know, Lenny Schultz.
Oh, Four Fingers. Yeah, Lenny Schultz. Isn't he like in the South somewhere?
No, he's in Florida.
South, he Florida. Was, yeah,
yeah. Florida.
I was thinking actually Tennessee or somewhere, no, but Florida.
He lives in like in Miami.
Good catch. Still a
I'm
South.
I'm sorry. I knew it was the South. Right. I just because
no, but good catch though.
But he's really funny, Lenny Schultz. A lot of people don't even know who he is. Yeah, he was a brilliant comic.
He was in the 70s. Yeah, but he was my favorite.
Yeah, he's like one of those funny, funny guys. But also, I forgot my question.
Rick, it's
I got
your
excited.
Question. It's
yeah,
your
Rick.
Turn.
Dude, it's my turn.
Just stand there, bro.
Now there's
questions
here.
On your phone.
Yeah, Ian. And now Ian's
we
got to
ask Ian stuff.
What was with my boring, non-famous, don't know anybody?
Yeah, forget Ian.
Did Pauly bring you into the club? How did you get to the comedy store?
Did you really?
Yeah. Because I remember someone saying,
I love black people. I love black people.
Pauly, when you say I love black people, it sounds fake. Just don't say it.
You got to keep that secret.
Yeah, just
blacks and Asians, they go crazy. Yeah. I love fucking Asians.
Girls or guys?
It sounds more racist now that he's added other races.
Just adds more racism.
We do have a lot of Thai people here. Remember, your mom would only hire Thai, which is amazing. No, because they're the best workers, honest to God.
Did you see
that? Sounds racist too.
Did you see the Steve Aoki documentary on Netflix?
No.
Mm-mm. You know who he is, right?
This
is that the surfer?
He's the DJ.
Oh,
he's the DJ with the long hair, Steve Aoki.
Mm-mm.
Oh, I seen the photo, the billboards. He does
Vegas. That's a good documentary. You know who his dad was? His dad discovered Benihana's.
Oh, I hate Benihana's. I'm sorry. I get the runs.
That's her one thing.
That's
angers
my,
her bringing
that's
it
like,
up.
But like Mexican food to me. It runs right through me. It's awful. I hate it.
I could never afford Benihana, so I don't know.
I go with other people. I sleep around.
Smart.
They pay for it. Right, Ian? Nothing?
I mean, did you showcase for Mitzi or Tommy?
Mitzi. Tommy was there. And then
cheering her on.
I did something with Pauly.
Didn't you do like a sketch?
Yeah. Sketch movie.
DVD or something?
Yeah, sketch movie.
Okay.
Oh.
Natural Born Comics.
Natural Born Comics, yeah, right. I was trying to think what it was.
And then they hooked it up. It came. His mom was there. And
were you scared of her? Or
nah. I was just like, just trying to get in the club, and I knew how to perform, so I just did a set. I don't even think I did good that night, but she was like, She could tell.
She didn't need someone to do well.
You know who I brought over to see, to my mom? Because I was very, like, me and my mom are very close.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
super close. Like, I remember when there was the was it Fat Tuesdays was next door?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That was for years.
Oh, yeah.
I was very close with Robin Harris.
Oh, yeah.
You guys remember Robin Harris?
Hell yeah.
You remember Robin Harris?
I don't know Robin.
Hilarious.
Yeah, you would love Robin Harris.
He's fucking hilarious.
It's a murderer.
So I saw him. I saw him on Fat Tuesday. I'm like, I go to dude. I get him. I run him backstage. I'm like, what are you doing on this show, dude? I'm like, that was a next great show.
This is the guy that loves black people. You know what I'm saying?
What are you hanging out with these people for?
What are you hanging out with these black
I'm
people
like,
for?
Come
black
next door, dude.
My favorite people. Why are you hanging out with my favorite people?
I'm like, this is not, you know, this is cool and all, but come, right. come to the other side.
We have a big secret going on over here.
Sorry.
So you could get really famous. This is bullshit over here.
I'm working with Guy Tori this weekend. I can't wait to tell people.
So I fucking bring him over and I bump whoever was supposed to go up for my mom next. Uh-huh. And I'm like,
a regular lineup, not even a showcase.
No, it was
night?
Like it was a Monday night.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that's.
Yeah, and I was like, this is the guy, mom, you got to see this guy. Wow, what's going on? I'm like, mom, he's fucking hilarious. And he goes and she died. She was loving it.
Love
she,
it.
And then I moved. I got out of the booth and I put Robin right next to my mom and my heart sunk. And aww. I was like, yeah, I'm like, he's yeah, great. He's and then we started brilliant. Giving him spots.
Oh, dope.
That's yeah, because fucking... back then, open mic night and showcase nights were Sunday, Monday, and Tuesdays in the OR.
I think it was just Mondays or
no, Sundays. Yeah, Sundays. We quit but Mondays because right of football.
Right after that, he got into Spike Lee's movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's fucking. You got to. You got to
look him up.
He had a half-hour special on HBO. Mm-hmm. Okay. Murder.
Yeah. I'll Google.
He had a fucking murder. Heart attack, dude.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. Is he dead?
Dude. Yeah. He died in Chicago. Dude. Yeah. He died right after he got famous.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. It was a
like
nightmare.
Right after, like he was getting huge, and then
he was in House Party, the movie. Mm-hmm. He was a dad. He had a special out. They was going to make a TV show out of
his dad. Now I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack.
Baby Kids, yeah.
Baby Kids.
I love Baby Kids.
That's right. That's Robin Harris.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They don't die, they multiply. Yeah, it's him.
They don't die, they multiply. That's right.
That's awesome.
Wait, so when did you do your first movie? Wait, you had the MTV thing first, right?
Well, let's go back to my thing with him. No, with him, it was... So, Ian... How I brought in Ian was basically... Tommy Tellerino, who is his writing partner, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, at the time, yeah.
Yeah, at the...
Oh, you fired him?
He's like, at the all time, right. Not anymore. Fuck yeah, yeah. That guy.
I haven't had a writing partner in a long time.
Well, you guys were writing together.
Yeah, yeah,
what time. Show were you writing on?
We did The Boondocks together. Yeah, the Boondocks. And before that, like, we did some sitcom that lasted 6 episodes.
Okay, but you guys were writing, and I was hooked up with Tommy first.
No, I think... It was, we were at the same agency.
Oh, yeah, Gersh. Bernie. Oh.
Bernie, yeah.
Yeah, Krusty Bernie.
Krusty
yeah.
Bernie.
Right. Yeah. Bernie Spector.
Bernie Spector, yeah.
Oh, God.
That's funny.
Whitney Cummings talks shit about him a lot, dude.
Yeah, really? A lot of people talk shit about him.
Is he still accepting clients? Because I need anybody,
Rick and
guys.
We're looking. So.
I'll take anyone. I don't care how crusty
Bernie,
they are.
Bernie was
know,
cool, man. But he was
I'll
just,
clean
you know,
him up. I'll clean him up.
He's like, I don't think so, man.
You know, he's... He wasn't I don't know if he was a stoner, but he was just kind of like chill.
Oh, I see.
Whatever.
Yeah, Bernie must have had money.
Of course.
Because
was he a partner or was like he that
no,
high
No, he
up,
was
or?
Just an agent.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So we hooked up through Bernie. And then once I saw him, I put him up right away to see him first.
I think we did Natural Born Comics
first.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we were writing sketches.
Yeah, we wrote
so
the
you
sketches.
Were just writing. You weren't performing stand-up.
No. I was doing.
You just weren't doing stand up here,
right?
I wasn't at the store yet. Yeah.
Right. So I got him hooked up with my stuff. We went down to Miami.
Right.
Him and Tommy wrote some sketches. Mm-hmm. We did stand up. It was me, you, Ari
Kirk.
Shafir, Kirk Fox, and who else?
I think that was it.
That
at
was
the improv.
It was
yeah.
four of us.
Yeah. Wow.
And we did the improv.
That's a great lineup.
That's where I met OJ.
That's a fun. It's yeah. true.
That was his spot.
Yeah.
And then from there. And then from there, once that was finished, then we came here and then we got him on it.
So you saw him perform in Miami?
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Well, I remember Tommy.
But I had already seen his videos. If you Google Ian Edwards, he's fucking all over.
He's crushing
it. Oh, yeah. You've been doing this a while.
Yeah, he did it in New York for a long time.
We don't know how old you are. We've just
2 years I've been doing it. 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Just,
two full years.
I remember when Tommy was the talent coordinator here, and he would always talk about how he had a fear that you were going to take his job, that you wanted to be the talent coordinator. And then I'd be like, I don't think Paulie wants to be the talent coordinator.
He wants to be the talent coordinator.
And then he'd be like, well, he's got comics already. He brought in Ian Edwards. I'm like, and Ian crushes. So I mean, the first time I watched him, I was like, damn, this guy is fucking good.
He's
one of Paulie's guys. And it was like, Ian was doing so well, it might... cost him his job. That's was hilarious. Like the fear.
That's so hilarious. Great. It's funny as hell.
I didn't realize how nervous you made Tommy. I didn't. I
thought. Me neither. I would have enjoyed it more. I would have stared his face and enjoyed it more.
Bop, bop.
Yeah.
Hey, you know the podcast shit we did?
Yeah. What's up?
It's coming out on Crackle, bro.
Oh, dope.
I licensed all of them finally.
The one
last year. Yeah, you with
Beverly Hill.
Yeah, you with Ziggy.
Ziggy Marley. That was dope. It was a great day. Thanks, man.
Good one, dude. Yeah. Fucking
you got
good.
To podcast with Ziggy Marley? Yeah,
it was dope, dude. Yeah. Wow. It was dope as fuck.
Kind of bonded, too, you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. You're Jamaican,
Jamaica.
Right?
Yeah. Bah, bah,
I went
bah,
to
bah.
Jamaica.
We understood some things.
Paulie loves Jamaicans.
I love Jamaicans, too.
Didn't we just say this is bad?
Oh,
how are you going to join
sorry.
It?
I'm just saying, sorry. I
just see Jamaicans as normal people, Ian. I don't have, feel the need to say I like them as an overall group.
When I went there, remember I asked you a million questions before I went because I did the Kid Rock cruise.
How was that?
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was the fucking best. But I was the only comic, but we went to Jamaica and that was the highlight of the trip for me. And my boyfriend, he's obsessed with Bob Marley, so we went to Marley's house.
Oh,
and we heard all these great stories, just amazing. They take you on the tour up to Nine Mile. It was so cool. And he kept giving kids money and they were fucking chasing the bus. It was awful.
He's
throwing 20s out. I'm like, babe, why 20s? Save them for me. Give those kids a dollar.
Yeah, treat them like strippers.
Yeah, Jesus. Right.
Making it rain.
Yeah. That's for me and Benihana. I'm just kidding. I don't like that place. So you showcase here and killed and scared the shit out of the town.
Tommy was scared. Yeah. Mitzi liked it.
Oh,
yeah, Tommy
Mitzi
pretended
was here?
Liked me all the time. Yeah, Mitzi was here.
Wow. Yeah, what did she say? Oh, you
didn't.
Dark.
I didn't really talk to her. Did I? I said hi. And I said, thank you. And then I
and
walked
I
over
said,
to Tommy.
Step off, bro.
Yeah, something like that.
Step
get your,
off.
Get your hands off my mom's knee.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's like a weird interaction.
I think that was always the plan. When Mitzi called me over to talk to her, that was the worst I ever felt in my life because I was positive she was just going to be like, never perform here again. But then the rest of the times when I performed for her, she would just be like, good. And I was like, sweet.
Yeah.
But the best is how I met Rick.
Oh,
please.
Hawaii, dude.
How'd you meet
the
Sherman?
Oh, yeah. I did. I met Paulie before I ever came to the comedy store.
Tell the whole story. It's hilarious, dude.
I don't even really remember
dude,
the story.
You're on vacation with your fucking parents.
I was with
you're
my parents.
You went
Kansas.
To fucking Hawaii?
Where?
Yeah, dude.
We went to Hawaii for, I think it was Thanksgiving or something. And
yeah, Hawaii? I'm appalled.
I saw Paulie by the pool.
Let's leave Eleanor. We didn't know this guy
so
was
he's
rich.
Just like
I love Hawaiians. So I say that first of all.
So it was probably like 15 years ago, right?
Yeah, I was 19, maybe 20.
Yeah, you were just a white kid with your white family in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Period.
Huli.
Wearing shorts.
Yeah.
Howlies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Howlies. Definitely
and you're at the Sheraton Hotel.
Shorts. Yep.
Sheraton Hotel. And you're there just, and you know, and you're kind of putting your lotion on. And you look
protection?
Over and what do you look over and what
creepy.
Do you see?
I saw Paulie with babes.
How many?
I thought you said I was just with the one babe.
I just know there was a really attractive girl, probably one of the most attractive girls I'd ever seen, being from Kansas.
He does pull ass
clearly, and I just remember being like, "This dude gets ass."
Yes.
And I mean,
did you know it was Paulie? Like, obviously.
But I definitely knew it was Paulie, and I just remember being extremely nervous. And I think I said hi to him or just like, hey, I'm a fan. And he gave me that look like, dude, I'm with a hot chick. Get the fuck away from me. Don't cock block me, you creepy white guy.
White
yeah.
kid.
But that's funny. That's the first time I met him.
Yeah.
So did you remember or he reminded you?
He reminded me. I don't remember.
He doesn't remember every creepy white kid that stares at him from afar.
I was a creepy white kid that met you too outside the comedy store. I came here before I moved here. I came here on vacation with my boyfriend Mario, naturally. And you were filming outside with Todd Lemish. It was something for MTV.
Yeah.
And maybe Don Barris.
Probably.
And Mario was like, we got to get a picture. We got to get a picture. It's fucking Paulie Shore. We got to get a fucking picture. So I asked
Mario
for a picture.
Sounds like a smart dude from that
I
impression.
I pick a lot of smart guys. I'm not sure if you guys noticed.
Yeah,
we're
noticed.
All stellar. Yeah. Scholars.
You're into nerds. We get it.
Yeah.
You have kids?
Oh, I don't have any kids. I would never carry to full term. sorry, Rick.
I respect
I'm just
that.
Saying. I don't. I no kids.
No apologies to me.
I'm 1 of 10. I don't do that. No kids. But anyway, so I had this cute little half top on, and I thought I was all sexy. So he's like, "You go talk to him," and he literally pushed me off to fucking take a picture with Polly. So I took a picture, and then you wouldn't take one with Mario.
That's hilarious. That's the right move. You don't take a picture with the dude. That's weird.
Really?
Is that on your wall?
It was like a collage I made the first year I moved here, and then
collages are. You're doing collage.
One of my first collage.
That's the girliest thing I've ever heard.
That I ever did. Yeah,
Eleanor. Yeah, a collage.
But I did it on cardboard.
Cut it into a heart, probably.
It was so gay.
Collages are pretty. Awesome. That's what you do in the 80s and 90s. You make collages.
It was the 90s. And then I had it on this shitty piece of cardboard. And so my first ex-fiance, he put it in a frame for me. So it's like stuck there.
That's
so
cool.
Now
when I first met Polly at the comedy store.
Take a picture with it on your phone.
I'll send it. You'll love it. It's so weird because I'm just like, nervous. Like, why is he making
my, me my first interaction with Polly at the comedy store. I was an employee here, and I was standing at the back, and I'm sure you guys never noticed, but I talked shit about people sometimes.
No, you're usually very fair. And
obviously, reverence. I'm different now, but back then, I was this little shit talker, and I was a paid regular already, but I was angry that cocky. I didn't get stage time, and this comic named Jeremy Dingle would get stage time, and so Dingle got off stage. He was an odd one.
I'm fixated on the last name. I'm fixated on the last name, but keep going.
So
he didn't speak.
Dingle got off stage, and he had just bombed doing that weird shit that he did.
In a singlet?
Yeah.
Did he have the singlet?
And so I thought, hey, I'm going to make a name for myself. Paulie's standing by. Paulie's going to think I'm cool because I'm going to bully this guy. And so I started talking shit about him, and then Paulie was just like, dude, he's a paid regular. He's been a paid regular longer than you have. And then... Paulie completely shut down. In my mind, it was going to be like me being like, Dingle, you're a fucking loser. And then Paulie's going to be like, we're both cool, and he's a loser. And instead, he just shut me down.
You almost went the Tony Hinchcliffe route.
Yeah. I tried, yeah. And he was like, no, you respect the other paid regulars. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
But then I feel like I got Paulie back when I started mocking Argus.
So. Oh, okay.
I brought you on the road with me before, a long time ago, right?
Yeah, I was like 23, and you'd have me do Argus on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
I would do it like that. I'd always be like, Polly, we want to play trivia. You ready to do trivia? And he'd be like, no, Argus will do it.
That's hilarious.
Argus will do it. And I was great at it. And they'd always look at me.
They're like, who's Argus?
Because I'm acting like this idiot. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be Rick at all the whole time.
It's funny because, like, sometimes I'll, like, go back. I remember, like, I forgot who it was. I think it was the Weasel. Mm-hmm. Is it the Weasel in Brooklyn? Or no, New York. In upstate New York. There's, like... And he wouldn't have me on again because I brought like openers with me, and like my openers like Sandy would do like Tommy impressions or sometimes I'd just set them up because their questions are so I don't know.
Well, it's that morning radio, the morning radio like he's thing.
Making fun of.
And I want to give and let the other people like get involved, like let Sandy do his thing and.
Or you just want to laugh because that's funny to
you. Or you can just take a nap. You've done this thing 1,000 times.
Exactly. Yeah.
Who wants to do it again in the morning?
And I think
but I think Sandy's funny, though.
Sandy is.
Great.
And with the Argus thing, I remember that they were very clearly going to try and stump you. Like that was their plan. Because they're asking these ridiculously absurd questions about this Chilean dictator.
No.
And then I, being a huge dork, knew the answers, and as Argus is, well, obviously we're talking General Pinochet, and then that shuts down fucking Dale and Tammy in the morning or whatever it was. And they're just like, oh,
that's hilarious.
I love that you knew the answer.
They were not happy that I knew all the answers. Bring it on, let's keep doing it.
I'm looking at Rick now. He looks like you got dad face.
Yeah,
the glasses, the hair.
I'm
short.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't look exhausted, but you look
if you guys are going to have your show here, you got to have them have a fan in here.
Are you hot? Yeah.
Well, you're not?
No,
it's hot.
I don't sweat.
When they cut this window, I thought they were going to put in a wall unit. I legitimately was like, they need an air conditioner.
You don't need an air conditioner, just a fan just to blow some air.
Yeah. I asked Apravaya if he would do the podcast, he asked about the air quality down here. That's so I'm going to have to bring my Zoom box in.
So you mentioned Todd Lemish.
Yes, the Can Todd. We talk about him a lot.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
The Todd.
You never met him, probably.
Oh, yeah. I did. Oh,
you
did. I have
but
the,
you met him towards the end.
I have the creepiest Todd story.
He was funny. I love
him. I don't know who this is.
He's from Philadelphia.
He was this dude. He apparently sold blow. That's how I got to hang out with Robin Williams because I knew that Todd sold him blow at one point. And so I just heard these stories about the Todd. And there's a photo of the Todd and Robin Williams hanging up in the front hallway. And so people would talk about him. And then one night this lady showed up, old lady, and she's like, "I'm the Todd's mom." And I'm like, "What?"
Wow.
And she's like, "Todd was hanging out with Don Barris, and he's now escaped." And I'm like,
Don
what?
Was in charge of him, and then let him go because he's a jackass.
He had apparently the Todd has some mental issues.
He had a
like a breakdown, right? Mm-hmm. So he his mom's like, "If he comes here, please call us." Whatever. I'm like, "All right." Dean was the manager at the time. Dean's like, "Yeah, we'll call you." So at the end of the night, as the doorman, I had to go shut the power off in the main room. Mm-hmm. So I went back to turn the switches off.
That's a scary task.
Yeah. Yes. So I go back there, and it's a dark main room. We didn't have shows in there back then, maybe just on Saturday nights, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I walked backstage, and I went to turn the fuses off, and I turned the light on in the green room, and there's just a dude with a beard standing in the corner, facing the corner. And I was so fucking scared. And I literally ran out.
As
like
scared as I am now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
And I was like, I go, "Dean, there's a guy who looks kind of crazy in the main room." And he's like, "That's the Todd, bro. Call his mom." Like,
call his mom.
I'm not calling his mom. You call his mom.
I don't know his mom.
I'm not turning the lights off either. Lights stay on as long as the Todd's in the corner.
Yeah.
Can I just say thank you for being the first black guy to come down here? Everyone has turned us down because they're afraid.
Based on the basement. Leslie Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
She straight out was like, "I'm not going in the basement."
I mean, it is scary.
Yeah.
I mean,
is it?
Like even when the hallway's packed, I've always looked at that grated thing.
Yeah.
Oh, because we used to have the...
And then
the accordion door.
The accordion door, and it's just all the scary stories.
Yeah.
It's not, there is no scary stories in the basement.
It didn't look great from up there.
We used to have to clean it out. Mitz used to make us clean everything in here and look, you know, what was try down to store here? Stuff down here. Just storage.
Old shit.
It's a lot of shit.
Yeah,
do you have any haunted stories? Have you ever experienced that shit here?
People always ask me about that. I'm like, I don't hear anything.
Yeah.
I never saw it.
How about in Crest Hill?
No.
Even downstairs, because Jason Hart said, no offense, but there was a black guy that he used to fight in the middle of the night.
I'm trying to measure who's more racist right now.
Jason Hart's
Paulie or Eleanor.
You're stuck in the middle.
I'm stuck in the middle. Well,
Philadelphia usually wins on racism, so it's this way.
All right.
No, but he said he lived in the bottom part where you used to live in Crest Hill. That
You lived in Crest Hill?
I didn't live in the bottom part.
I'm sorry, in the basement?
I didn't live in the basement. I lived in the main house.
Yeah,
I partied in my gym.
But you know what I'm talking about, where the they had the pool table down
there.
Yeah,
that was yeah.
So he lived down there.
Yeah,
and he said he would be woken up, and we were sleeping together for a while because sometimes I hit rock bottom.
You slept with like four people on just this podcast.
Shit, there's only three down here. but anyway, so we used to hang out up there. Me, Freddie, Soto, Corey, and Jason. And when he would wake up in the middle of the night punching. And I'm like, "The fuck are you doing?" And he's like, "This is fucking black guy." I'm like, "I don't know what's
Where's
But in Crest Hill, he said that was that haunted.
Who did you just mention?
Jason Hart. He
no, the other one.
Oh, Freddie, Soto, Corey. No, the other
Corey. Corey, how Como. Is she doing?
Corey's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's still crazy.
How's the baby?
The baby is 14 out of the closet.
Oh, wow, shit.
That's awesome.
Lesbian.
That's how old that baby is.
Yeah. She's out. That's all Freddie.
Wow. Damn, she does look a little bit like
so
Freddie.
Freddie
Soto. It's his daughter. Freddy, yeah, she's 14. She just turned 14, July 22nd.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is she doing now, Corey?
Corey's just being Corey, crazy.
How did she make money?
she's always Princess Corey.
She was working as a PA on like for wardrobe, not PA, like in the wardrobe department.
That's good.
She was doing stuff like that, so that was good. Yeah, so that was keeping her busy.
It's good union work.
She had to do so much time before she gets in the union, so it's become like a pain in the ass, but she's getting closer.
Oh. That's good.
Yeah, so that's
good. She's always been very
crazy.
Creative, too.
Oh, creative, yeah. Creative, too.
She had the best.
One of
you know
the
how,
C's?
Like, well, no, what happened is that front bar.
Oh, yes.
The front
she used
bar,
to make money out there.
Yeah, the front bar has gone through so many different, like, you know, bartenders or whatever.
I know you try and keep them attractive ladies up there, which I appreciated in my day. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were doing that when we first opened that bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Because before, you know, when we opened the bar was 2005.
Yeah.
Because that's when we did Minding the Store.
What do you mean?
Remember?
It was closed for the longest time.
No, it was always like it wasn't really usable. Like my mom didn't really.
Because we used it.
It was a bar, but it wasn't really open and like inviting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because Corey used to decorate it and she used to put her big tits out. Yeah. She used to try hard.
She did like candies and.
Yep. Yep.
She made cigarettes. It like very inviting. She would bring cigarettes. And fun.
One time she had a brick of cocaine back there. So he asked me to hold it for him and I was like, who? And then she mentioned this guy and I'm like, are you out of your fucking mind?
Hey, where's Majid?
Which one?
Majid.
I don't know that one.
Really?
I don't think that was
Sam Kennison's drug dealer, Majid.
Sam passed in 92, so I missed his era. When I came here, I remember your mom and a couple other people sitting in the main room, and they were like, oh, you can't leave till Mitzi leaves. And I was the new waitress, so I had to stay. I was like, fuck. So it was like 3 in the morning, and they're not moving. So I'm like, what could they be doing in there? And it was a year anniversary. I didn't know. But I just kept bringing drinks and kept my mouth shut. But the managers, I'd be like, what the fuck are they doing in there?
Yeah, people are going to trip on my dock, dude.
I cannot wait to tell the real story.
That's shit. Dope. I got everyone. I got like Malika.
Oh, you found Malika? She's in New York, right?
She's, she lives in Nebraska somewhere with her. I think it's her either husband or boyfriend.
Okay.
But I got her to.
I talked to Sabrina sometimes.
To tell her version.
Well, that's good.
Of the story, which was cool. And.
And
yeah, it's great.
It good?
Yeah, yeah. She's awesome. She sounds great. Yeah.
People say that your mom hated that you were on the road with Sam. Is that accurate? That.
Why?
Because he was wild.
Yeah.
But he was also your babysitter when you were a kid.
He wasn't never my babysitter.
No, Steve Moore and Lois Bromfield.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was your babysitter.
The stories about who, like people are always like, well, you know, Dave Letterman used to take Polly to baseball practice.
What?
He went there, but he wasn't like.
Your full-time man, Jay Leno was.
And then you know, like Mike Binder, I'll tell you who they were. It was like Mike Binder, Argus, Ollie Joe Prater, Biff Maynard, Tim Thomerson, Alan Bursky.
We're going to have him on.
He's the best.
He's out of his mind. I love him.
He's the best.
Yeah, he okayed next week. So
oh, he's fucking the king.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Do you know that in the middle of one of Dice's specials, he yells out, jerk off Bursky, just for no reason, randomly?
He was like the guy at the club that you always saw walking towards you, and you're like, oh shit, and you ran the other way.
What were you afraid?
Afraid of? You just didn't want to engage in any conversations with the guy. He was just like, I don't want to say the annoying guy at the Comedy Store, but you know, he was very lovable, but he was just like, oh God, he was always the guy coming up to you.
Just
going to
take
time.
A lot of energy to be
that?
In the conversation.
Who's that now? I don't know. I think everyone,
50% of people.
Yeah,
I don't want to.
Majority, is that all right?
Yeah, I don't, a lot of people listen. So
it's tough for me to interact with people now that I'm sober, because I'm basically here mostly on the weekends, and people are so hammered. I can only deal with the non-hammered people.
Mm. What made you sober?
What's that?
What made you sober?
Diabetes.
That's a good sober. Right.
Yeah, Argus always said, well, you're lucky you got diabetes. I'm like, I don't know if I'm lucky. Well, your doctor told you had to quit. I wish I had that. I'm like, yeah, it really seems like a worse deal.
Argus, you could still die if you keep drinking.
Yeah.
That's not good enough?
Just so you know.
Yeah, it's...
Did you ever drink? Like, were you a drinker?
No, I stopped drinking when I was 7.
7?
Yeah.
Wow, it's different in Jamaica.
Yeah.
So you don't drink at all?
Nah.
Not even a beer?
Nah.
Really?
I'm with you.
I'm good.
Do you still drink some?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Do you smoke pot or anything like that?
Sometimes.
I remember it's first
and
time.
And now that Dean's like Mr. Marijuana Man.
Oh, sure.
Well, you smoke pot?
Sometimes.
Proud of you. Good. How about
you?
I do mushrooms.
Okay.
Do you do mushrooms?
Yeah.
Just jump the shark.
Have you done ayahuasca?
Nah, not yet.
I'm going to do that.
You're going to do it? You're going to go somewhere to do it?
I don't know. I've been talking to a couple shamans. Mm. There's different places and, you know,
Do you have to go somewhere and do it, or is it like something?
It's just recommended.
Yeah. You can't do it in your living room.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's kind of like, you know, you ever see those cults, you know, where there's someone in charge and you're like, there's people around and you
keep everyone in the right mode. You don't
throw up and shit.
Yeah,
right?
Chelsea did it on her show, Chelsea Handler, I think.
Yeah, she did.
Like four people or something and they went and they did it. But it didn't affect her.
It didn't affect her.
Where is that? The first night. That's crazy.
Yeah, but then she did it again and it affected her, right? Yeah.
But she does a lot of drugs. That's amazing.
She
built up a tolerance.
A tolerance for ayahuasca. Yeah. One of the most powerful things. It's hilarious.
I don't know if I could do it.
I know, that's crazy.
Are you afraid to do it or are you excited
to do it?
No,
I want to do it.
We were in...
What do you want to think
of where we're at?
Sorry, man.
Just let go of anything that's holding me back in my life in the past, you know?
Mm-hmm. Is that what it helps with?
My family, mom,
the shit that would come out of me.
Stuff, like... You know, like we all kind of let go of stuff, but we all kind of not let go of it.
Still hold on to some things, yeah.
Just, you know, I think it's like almost like, you know, just an emotional dump, right?
Yeah. I want to do it so I can let go of the shit I'm going to hold on to in the future.
Oh, shit.
So you know some shit's coming.
He's planning some fucked up things.
I like to do my homework early. You know what I'm saying?
Smart.
Get it out the way.
Oh, you don't wait till Sunday night?
No.
You're not a weekend.
There was, we were in, I can't remember where we were. It was like Brownsville, Texas. We were in some shitty place.
Oh, my God.
I was on the road with you.
So awesome.
And,
Brownsville's the best.
I was,
the shittier, the better.
Yeah. I was sharing a room, I chair a room with the bodyguard, Terrell.
Hilarious.
Yes.
And so we
Black
had
guys.
Black guys.
We had some guy at the show told us he'd bring us pot. And we were like, all right, cool. And the kid, he gets out to our hotel and he's like hanging out. And the Terrell's like, how old are you, man? And he's like, 17. And he's like, man, you got to get the fuck out of our hotel room. And the dude is like, hey, man, I got some, what's that stuff you smoke that makes you hallucinate for like 2 minutes. I can't think of what it's called.
Hash?
No. It's not pot. It basically makes you like trip. And it's like some root
it's like
or something.
Like leaves or something?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, what happened?
Salvia?
Salvia,
I think it is. So, anyway, the dude's like busts some of the stuff out and he hits it and we think he's loading pot. And then he's like, hey, you guys want to hit this salvia? And we were like, I didn't know what it was. I was like, pretty into the drug scene. I'm like, no. And the dude hits it. And then he just starts laughing, and then he falls on the ground. And this is after Trail's already told him he has to leave. And then Trail's like, man, what the fuck is wrong with you? He's like, I'm tripping, man. There's blood all over your carpet.
Oh, and okay.
Terrell's like, you got to get the fuck out. He just grabbed the dude and pulled him into the hallway.
Dude, I got one story I'm going to say, and then I'm going to roll because I got to get some sleep. So do you remember John Cardinale?
Of course.
Tell the audience who he is, and then I got to tell you the story, and then I got to go.
John Cardinale is a guitar comic. Is
oh, that... no, not that guy. John. Oh,
Campanera?
No, John. Fuck, what was his name? Shit. You know who he was. Fuck, John. Ask Simone
older
about
older or younger?
It. No, like in that age, yeah.
Yeah, Cardinale
John,
had a...
No, no, not John Cardinale. Anyway, so I'm on the road.
Oh, you're talking about Jonathan Gotsick.
Oh, yes. Gotsick. Yeah.
The
little
dude who freaks
one.
Out on the bus?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Gotsick. I remember because Terrell called me while he's in the woods.
Yes.
He's like, hey, you said this guy was all right.
Wait, tell the story. Yeah, because I love Gotsick. He's a teacher now.
Do you ever talk to him?
My Jason Hartz does sometimes.
You got to ask him about the story.
Dude. I have to.
So we're on the road. Where I'm on. This is when I'm on using
the bus, tour bus,
the
right?
Tour bus thing. And fuck, I think
Steve Simone.
Oh, Steve Simone's featuring. Is it Gotsick?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Gotsick's opening.
And we're in Macon, Georgia. And I got to get to Atlanta overnight because I have radio.
Okay.
And I'm very serious about my press and business. I'm like, we got to go. So we're at the bar or whatever after the gig. And we get on the bus and we start watching, like, you know, Sam Kennison videos. And we watch, like, the De Niro video where he plays a comic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. King of Comedy.
King of Comedy.
King of Comedy.
Yeah, and we're all watching it. And he's in all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the front door, and we're driving down the fucking. We're driving down the.
It was on the interstate.
Yeah, on the interstate, and we're going fast.
Yeah, of course.
And doesn't Gotsick, like, he starts asking you questions about, like, Encino Man or something, or he wanted to know something about filming.
Yeah, he just like, started, I don't know. All I remember is, like, we're sitting there watching shit, you know, we're on the bus, and the front door opens, and he jumps off the bus.
What?
He jumps off the bus.
He kicks the door.
I've heard the story.
Yeah, he kicks the door open, And then the bus driver starts trying to slow down. And he bails out at like 35 miles an hour.
Dude, it's like more. It's like 50. Dude. Yeah. He just jumps off the bus, dude.
Fuck.
And we're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah, in the middle of the night, like 3 in the morning or some shit. So then the bus pulls over and he goes in the woods. And then luckily we have his cell phone.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm pissed. I'm like, I got radio. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Fuck this guy.
You know what I mean?
I got radio. Well, I agree,
but he's like disrespecting the tour. Like,
my phone rings and I see it's Terrell and we're buddies at this point. So I answer. I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, man, your friend is fucked up. I'm like, what?
You don't know if he's talking about Paulie.
Yeah. You're like,
Simone.
Who's Simone.
He's like,
Simone, he goes,
he goes, man, he kicked the door open. He jumped off the bus on the highway. And now Paulie's got me walking around the woods in the south looking for this dude.
My God, I would have shit my pants. Yeah. I would have been like, forget it. Leave
him. We get him. We finally get him. And then like at this point, like he's on the other side of the fucking road.
Yeah.
And like miles down.
He goes to like a rest stop or something.
No, we finally get him because we call him. I'm like, dude, no one's trying to hurt you. Like, we gotta go,
calm down.
Where the fuck are you? And he's like, and he gets back on the bus, okay, and he looks like he's fucked up because he's got twigs and
such
shit,
a nice
or whatever
kid.
Right?
Yeah.
And then we're driving again and fucking he jumps off the bus again, dude, and we have to look for another 2 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
And at this point the bus driver's like, dude,
no, we can't do it.
We can't this is like liable. So we finally get him. Finally, somehow we find him. I don't know how, in the woods. Jesus. You know what I mean? And then Terrell's in the front of the bus, and we just pull off at the next exit.
Drop him off at a motel.
Yeah. And we lock him in there and just be like, and then I guess his brother went to pick him up or something.
Right. His brother goes and picks him up. And strangely enough, after that, Gosick decided he probably shouldn't perform at the Comedy Store anymore.
No. And he was a door guy here for a long time.
He was funny, dude.
He was very funny.
He killed. Yeah.
He had some great bits. I liked Gosick, and I was friends with him, but he legitimately seemed crazy after that.
And he's a teacher now?
Now he's a teacher.
I talked to him
twice.
He's
doing great, obviously. He's doing great. No, but he is.
Just saying.
He teaches mental health.
Hopefully Mr. Gosick is your favorite teacher because...
But you took a lot of those guys on the tour on tour with you. Like you took Jason Hartz. And do you remember getting stuck in a storefront on Hollywood Boulevard with him? And you guys were peeking under, and you kept telling people.
Tell me what he looks like, Jason
Hartz.
You said
Hartz. You were stuck under there with Adam Sandler, because he kind of looked like
Adam
Sandler.
Oh, that Jason Hartz. Love that guy. He was the best.
You guys got stuck in front. I loved him. Yeah, he's one of my closest friends.
He's so sweet. My mom loved him.
The Penny? She didn't love him.
Oh, she didn't?
No, because Jason was... Because
he was kind of fumbling?
He was cheap. And like if she would ask him to do something, he'd be like, I clocked out. And so he would clock back in to do something for
that's
her.
That's hilarious.
And she would call him the Penny. The Penny Pincher's here.
You know what I always thought was weird about Dean was when I worked here, we got $25 a night.
Yes, that's it.
So you'd work like an 8-hour shift.
What?
To work the door shift. So like you'd work an 8-hour shift and you just got $25 and it worked out to be like $3 an hour or something terrible. And despite the fact that it was a set pay, I would get my I'd clock in, clock out or whatever. Uh-huh. And Dean would shave hours off of my and be like, "No, bro, it's illegal otherwise." And I'd be like, "That's not a reason to do it. You should just pay us more."
Right.
"No, bro, you get stage time."
I'll see you guys next time. Thanks
cool.
for having
Thanks
me.
Thanks for being on, Paulie.
Thank you so
appreciate
much.
It, man.
Sorry it's so hot down here.
Dude, Paulie loves
amazing.
Black people, you can
Thank
tell
you so
by
much.
The hug.
Thank you so much.
Later, bro. Good to see you, brother.
I got an 11 o'clock spot, but I don't know how much they're going to be on time up there.
Well, we'll tell them.
Yeah, sweet.
Tell
Thank
me
you.
It's down here. If I can't, I'm sorry. We talked to him. He was like, "Yeah, well, I'll
let's
do it.
It right now."
And then he's like, "Let's do it right
it's all
now."
Good.
I was like, "Oh,
I got I would have been here earlier, but I got stuck at Largo."
Oh, nice.
3 minutes.
Oh,
okay.
Perfect.
Oh, wow.
Three minutes. We'll be right at an hour.
Yeah,
so that works
sudden,
out well.
They're on fucking time.
They're never on time.
They did it last week, too, and they're like, "Rick, we need you." I'm like, "But my spot's actually supposed to start now, so can you put someone else up?"
Yeah, exactly.
They put up Hinchcliffe, who looked so happy up there, just being evil as fuck.
Yeah, he's next here. I don't want to make him happy.
Yeah, absolutely
no,
not.
Make sure you get up there.
I'm going up before you, Tony. It's not happening.
What we'll do is we'll just have you back if you want.
Yeah, I'm down.
That
I'll do that.
Because I feel bad that we
Because you got a lot of good stories.
spot with.
It's all good. I was
I can't believe he talked to me for that long. I'm gonna be honest.
Dude, I brought Ian here, bro. Yeah, right? I get to be on his podcast.
In his mind, I've been here since he's born. That's how long it feels hilarious. Like I've been here. But it's true. I'm excited to interview you for real.
All right,
but I'm excited that you came.
All right.
Because, you know, we had some color in the basement. And it's so very exciting.
Yeah. She's not kidding. Multiple people
won't come down.
They've all said no. They're like, if you bring the stuff up here, I'm like, but the studio's it's down there.
Don't worry. I'll tell them it's not all right.
Thank you.
Leslie Jones.
You were all right. Yeah, everyone was accurate in your decision to not go in the basement.
Don't come down
there. It is creepy.
Leslie Jones, the actual Ghostbuster, will not come down here.
That's fucking hilarious. That is fucking hilarious. All right. I'll see you all next time.
Thank you, Ian Edwards.
Thanks for being here, Ian. Thanks to Pauly Shore.
Yes. Double dip, please. Yep. Dip, dip, dip. Anyway, Ricky, thank you for coming in. That was interesting.
It definitely was an interesting episode. I'm glad we got it recorded. And
I hope it recorded.
Yeah, me too.
If not,
it'll go for the ages. The ghosts will have loved every second of it.
Fucking Ari.
All right. I'm Rick Ingram.
I'm Eleanor Kerrigan.
Thanks for listening to the Comedy Store Podcast, guys. Come see a show.